We got late-breaking news on X-Men 97, name change for the Agatha Harkness series, again, and we review the mid-season finale of The Bad Batch here on today's episode of Geekville Radio, number 351.
Geekville Radio.
Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen, geeks and geekettes. This is Seth, a.k.a. Xandrax, the mayor of Geekville and the host of Geekville Radio, coming at you with episode number 351 in your hymnals. We are now in the middle of March in the year of our Lord 2024, and we are getting ready for the debut of Marvel's X-Men 97, which we have been talking about off and on for quite a bit over the last year or two. Obviously, for anybody who's been paying attention, this is the sequel series to X-Men, the animated series that ran from 92 through 97. And I believe Crazy Train and I will actually be doing an episode of Geekville Radio's Nostalgia Trip dedicated specifically to that X-Men series. Because naturally, anybody who watched that show, whether kids or teenagers or whatever, if you were an X-Men fan, you found something to like in that show. So that will be casting soon to a pod near you, Geekville Radio's Nostalgia Trip about X-Men the Animated Series. But the big news about X-Men 97 is that the showrunner, Bo DiMaio, has apparently been fired by Marvel. And that's kind of the strange thing here, is the word used not only by Hollywood Reporter, who broke the story, but just about everybody else talking about it, the word is fired. So it looks like this was something fairly big. I'm not even going to profess to know what the issues are, what they might not have been. Here are the things we do know, is that apparently this happened sometime early last week, so probably a little over a week ago from the time of this recording, and all of his Marvel accounts were deactivated, including his Instagram, which had been used to talk about X-Men and updates on the show and such. He also had worked as a writer for the Moon Knight series, which, if you recall, I did like. It wasn't the best of the Marvel series, but it was certainly enjoyable for somebody like me who really wasn't the big Knight fan, but I was able to follow it, and I thought Oscar Isaac did a great job and all that jazz. I don't know if there'll be a season two or not. And he's also credited as a writer for the upcoming Blade movie with Mahershala Ali. As of yet, there is no reason given for his firing, which is also seems kind of odd. But the biggest thing about this is that the big debut, I believe the Hollywood premiere was supposed to be this week, and it's supposed to debut on Disney Plus approximately a week from now. So he was canned from the show he was running a week before its debut, which I don't think you need to know too much about Hollywood or the entertainment business to see that that just seems odd. So while we don't know what the reasonings are, what we'll see, it looks like he did have at least two seasons mapped out. So I'm assuming that means we'll have X-Men 97 and X-Men 98. Assuming that's what the second season will be called. But that'll have his name attached to it. And then if there's a third season in X-Men 99, we'll see if anything comes from that. But a lot more questions than answers at this point as far as what he might have done. Did he get canned? The fact that they're using fired makes me think that something happened. Because if he had asked to leave, the word probably wouldn't be fired. They probably wouldn't be using the word fire to describe what happened. So we will pass on what we find when we find out. If we find out, I'm sure something will come along. Where there's smoke, there's fire and stuff like this. So, and that's a really bad pun that I didn't intend to make. But when we hear more, we will certainly pass it on to you. Moving on to another piece of Marvel news, the Agatha Harkness series is gone through yet another name change. It is now just called Agatha. And these names in the past, in no particular order, we had Agatha, House of Harkness, Agatha, Darkhold Diaries, and Agatha, Coven of Chaos. Apparently, they've just decided to just go with Agatha. And this show was originally announced 2 years back, sometime in 2022, after the character's debut in WandaVision. I think she became like the new favorite of the show with WandaVision. I think everybody thinks Catherine Hahn, myself included, did an awesome job in that role. I'm assuming this is going to be kind of an origin story, because Agatha Harkness is one of those characters that certainly is by no means a major player in the Marvel Universe. She's mainly, I think, been connected with the Fantastic Four more than anything. But in the comics, she's been depicted as much older than she is in the series, in WandaVision. She's usually depicted as being gray-haired, kind of the grandmotherly type. Think Aunt May in the comics. That type of vibe, although she usually is depicted as not being very nice. She's usually on the bad side of things. But for whatever reason, they went with Catherine Hahn for the series, gave her some nice quick wits and a catchy theme song. And I don't know if that theme song will carry over into the Agatha series, but we probably won't have to wait too much longer, because Agatha, at least as we know it now, is set to debut sometime later this year on Disney Plus. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will dive into the mid-season finale of Star Wars The Bad Batch. A lot of stuff to talk about with this doubleheader. This is Geekville Radio, and we will be right back.
Attention all Time Lords and Ladies. This message is being sent by Lady President Romana and the High Council of Gallifrey. Geekville Radio presents Examining the Doctor. Join Mark and Seth as they bring their signature blend of knowledge and humor about everybody's favorite Time Lord, the Doctor. From Hartnell to Whitaker, Examining the Doctor provides episode commentaries for favorite and not-so-favorite Doctor Who stories. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, GeekvilleRadio.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.
All right, we are back talking Bad Batch Season 3, Episodes 6 and 7. They released both episodes at once this week, kind of a mid-season finale, it looks like. So as per the usual course, let us waive the spoiler tag.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler hull has been breached! Spoiler hull has been breached!
And oh boy, where to start with this episode? Because this had, it was basically a two-parter. It had enough action to cover this half of the season. The second episode was pretty much pedal to the floor, and we got to see what these assassin clones were capable of that we actually first gotten a glimpse of last season. There were actually a lot of callbacks to previous seasons, both Bad Batch and Clone Wars. For the record, these are episode 6 called Infiltration and episode 7 Extraction. So even the episode titles kind of play off each other. You have the Infiltration and then you have the Extractions. But we got a pretty big callback early on as we are looking on, I believe it's the world of Pantora. I want to say they were on, because that is the planet that Senator Chuchi represents in the Galactic Senate, now the Imperial Senate. And she goes back a long ways. I think we might have even seen her back in the first season. But we got those two senators, Chuchi and Singh, who Singh was from the planet Raxus. And right away, if you know your Clone Wars history, Pantora was solidly behind the Republic, while not only was Raxus in line with the Separatists, it was actually the capital of the Confederacy during the Clone War. I think it was the latter seasons of the Clone War series, and certainly the beginning of Bad Batch showed this, because after the war was over, the Empire basically just invaded Raxus just because they could. You know, they thought it was originally just going to be a peacekeeping presence, but it got so bad that Singh actually turned against the Empire because of it. And I believe that, I want to say, that was the first season of Bad Batch. And also, Senator Chuchi, she wanted to get clone representation in the Senate, which, if you're going to look at the political ramifications of that, you know, we've talked before that creating humans simply for the purpose of cattle is like one of the most evil things you could think of. That if you were to create this human life that basically are fully sentient humans, I think most people would argue that it would make sense that they would have the same rights as ordinary people, since they're genetically the exact same. Their brainwave pattern and all that stuff, they're people. I would imagine most people would conclude that, yeah, you just treat them like normal people. Another tidbit of knowledge on Pandora, it's the homeworld of Baron Paparoida. He was actually the character that we saw George Lucas briefly portraying in Revenge of the Sith. It was the scene when Anakin meets with Palpatine, I believe, during that jellyfish opera, or whatever you want to call it, the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise. If you look closely around in there, you'll see George Lucas painted blue as this character of Baron Paparoida. The character was around later in Clone Wars, but wasn't voiced by George. I believe it was Corey Burton that voiced that character. But we saw what happened. Like I said, after the Clone War was over, Chuchi tried to get clone representation, which I think is a fair motion, and the Senate invaded Raxus anyway, which ticked off Senator Singh, or as I was calling him, Colonel Mustard, because he just looks like Colonel Mustard from the Clue game, or maybe the Marshal from the Stratego game. But also remember that it was Chuchi who exposed that it was the Empire that destroyed the Kamino cloning facilities. And it was in the second season. So you have two people who were on opposing sides during Clone War now meeting common ground in distrusting the Emperor. So we're distrusting the Empire, at least. I think they don't believe the Emperor's evil yet. But it's showing that this is kind of the early stages of the rebellion, because is what's been shown, not just in Rebels and Andor, and I think even stuff in Tales of the Jedi, the rebellion wasn't really a large organized effort at first. It was these pockets of resistance in scattered places throughout, and that's kind of what Ahsoka was doing. She was the fulcrum. She was kind of coordinating between those groups. So that's really kind of in a nutshell. I know I've rambled a little bit here, so sorry if I'm boring anybody, but that covers a lot of ground there, just in those few scenes of those two senators sitting down and talking. But we got the assassination attempt on Senator Singh, or Colonel Mustard. He's probably been on the Empire's hit list for a while, again, dating back to the first season of Bad Batch. And the Empire has been specially training these certain clones to be assassins, really similar to Crosshair, but even deadlier. We saw the first one last year. Rex made mention of how they captured him only for him to commit suicide before telling him any information. Now we know there are at least two more of these assassins, and chances are there's probably more on Mount Tantus where that came from. We know of three, two of them are dead now. First one killed himself, and the one that started this episode was killed off about halfway through. Now, yet another callback is Wolf meeting Rex. Wolf believed that Rex was dead, and this was taken from the series finale of The Clone Wars, where Ahsoka and Rex made it look like they had died during one of the final battles of The Clone War. It would have taken place shortly after the events of Revenge of the Sith. I believe this is also what made Darth Vader himself believed that Ahsoka was dead, because he visited that site years later and found her lightsaber. And the fact that Wolf let Rex go, they had him face to face. It was a standoff, and Wolf called his troops off. So that should go to show the amount of respect that was shown to Rex in that. And Wolf even said, these are clones. These aren't insurgents. These are our own people. What's going on here? So that seed of doubt placed with seeing that Rex is still alive, I think is definitely showing that Wolf may be seeing more into Rex's way of thinking. And that's without even getting into the fact that, another spoiler alert, Wolf and Rex are actually war buddies during Rebels. So we know Wolf doesn't die. He's going to make it through this. But it will be interesting to see what happens from here. These are kind of the main questions that I'm asking here for what we might see in the future. First off, what's going to happen to Wolf? Will his stormtroopers report that he let Rex and Omega go? How is that story going to come out when it goes back to Dr. Hemlock? It'll be interesting to see whether the rest of the Empire will hear that, could we see this clone uprising? Could we see Wolf join Rex in the liberation of the clones on Tantus? That seems to be what the ultimate goal would be. There's also how many assassin clones are there? We know one survived the seventh episode here, the one that battled Crosshair in the waterfall. It's a pretty safe bet there's going to be more of them. And really, how much more does Crosshair actually know? There may be more to his story than what we've been told. We learn that the Empire did try to turn him into one of these assassin clones. Both assassin clones recognized him, the one that was killed and the one that fought him at the end. They both knew who he was, but we really didn't get much more than that. I almost kind of equate it to Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, where Khan recognized Chekhov, even though Chekhov was not in the Space Seed episode with Khan. But we can assume that Chekhov was still stationed on the Enterprise at that point, so they must have crossed paths at some point. Crosshair's side of it, why he wasn't a pick to be an assassin, was his defectiveness. But that assassin number three, I guess we'll just call him, made it sound like it was Crosshair's decision, like he either left or couldn't. It wasn't just that he couldn't cut it. It's like that it was his choice to leave, because he said, you could have been. I'll throw it out there as well. Could some of these memories be falsified? We know that there is mind wiping going on at Mount Tantus. We know that memories are getting messed with. Could Crosshair be implemented with another chip? We know the original one was there and they kind of amplified it on him in the early episodes of Bad Batch. Could he be fitted with another chip, and maybe that's what Hemlock is using to track them? But either way, it does show that Crosshair won back a measure of the respect from Hauser, since he was the one who turned Hauser over to the Empire in the first place. You know, Hauser really was ready to throw down with him right then and there when Crosshair showed up. But again, it was, I think, late in the first season. Crosshair actually turns over Hauser and his men to the Empire, and a lot of those clones were executed because of it. So the final grade for this, I definitely give this an A. This is definitely the best episode we've had so far. I've said the same thing about Clone Wars as I do about this show. When this clicks on all cylinders, this is a Star Wars as you can get. And the moral dilemmas, you might say, of what is good and what is bad, they're still relevant here. Because not only just talking about would clones have rights and such, but there's a lot of these planets realizing that the Empire is not what the Republic was. They may have even just kept the bad parts of the Republic and just amplified them. So we do kind of see that moral dilemma that some of the characters are facing about maybe nobody's truly all good and a lot of evil isn't all evil in some cases. But I'm definitely looking forward to the second half of the season. The only downside is, of course, knowing it's going to be the end of the show. It'll be interesting to see if there's anything beyond this with the same animation style. Like I said, I think some of the major players in the Bad Batch are kicking the bucket by the time this is over. So I think maybe I should start some odds on who I think is dying. So that's going to wrap up this episode of Geekville Radio, episode number 351. If you liked what you heard, definitely give us a like on Facebook, X, Twitter, or Instagram. You can find us at the podcatcher of your choosing, the podcast player of your choosing. We're all over Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find our family of podcasts, not just this show, Geekville Radio. You can find the Lesser-Known Geek Hall of Fame, the Nostalgia Trip. You can find Examining the Doctor, where myself and Mark Short, who you may have seen on Collector's Call, talk Doctor Who. We also have Examining the Dead, our horror theme podcast. It's the only mature or explicit rated podcast that we do here at Geekville Radio. And of course, we do Classic Wrestling Memories, where we talk about the classic days of pro wrestling. If you want to give us a review, the only thing I ask is be honest. Let us know what we're doing well. Let us know what we can do better, even if you think we suck. You know, as long as it's honest, I'll definitely read it and appreciate it. So I'm going to shut down the power here in the Geekville Radio studios, and we'll be back sooner rather than later with episode 352. Geek
Geekville Radio is not sponsored or endorsed by any products or services unless specifically stated. The views expressed by the hosts and or guests do not reflect the views of GeekvilleRadio.com, the Wrestling Brethren podcast, family, or any of their affiliates. Some media used in Geekville Radio is the product of their respective copyright holders, all rights reserved.